Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey guys, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. I hope everybody is doing well today. It's Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. I love doing my show. And of course, I have another amazing guest, Julie Hilson. She's an author of Life of Love, A Joyful Guide to Self and Sensuality. And she is going to join me in just a couple of minutes. If you're new to my show, I want to say welcome. Thank you for being here with me today, and I hope that you keep coming back. Just so you know that we do record this show live, but if you do like my show and you want to check out some of my other guests that I have on, you can always go into the archives on Om Times Radio, and you can go back and listen to any show that resonates with you. And I also take the show and I put it up on my podcast on postcardstotheuniverse.com. So you can always listen to any show at your leisure if you like. And hopefully you really like it that you'll subscribe. That would be wonderful. A little bit about me. I am an artist. I am a photographer. And I'm also an author. And I have a book out. And it's called Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. Everything I do is under Postcards to the Universe. By the way, all my social medias, my websites, you can always find me that way. But in the book, I talk all about manifesting, how to consciously co-create with the universe and to bring in more abundance in those areas of our life that we always want to bring more abundance, you know, like love and money and our health and our careers and everything that brings us joy and inspires us and creates passion in our life. So there's 30 manifesting stories in the book with the photographs that I took of the contributors. They sent me their postcard. I photographed them when their manifestation became the reality. I shared their story with their permission, of course, in the book. And there's a lot of exercises. Like I did some fun games and fun exercises in the book that helps you manifest in certain areas, like, you know, money. I have a lot of money manifesting, fun games to play to manifest more of that, and health. I have this whole shower ritual you do to help bring more health into your body. So I broke it down like that, and it's a really, my opinion, my humble opinion, a great book. So I hope that you check it out. And if you're going, what the heck is she talking about? What is a manifesting postcard? It's kind of like a mini vision board. So instead of, we do our vision boards, usually we do them in the beginning of the year, and then you do the whole, all the areas that you, and all the things that you want to bring in. I have people take a postcard, and it doesn't have to be traditional. I have a lot of people who think outside the box and send me very interesting things, but you're just picking one area of your life that you're working on or one thing you want to bring into your life at a time. And you can send me as many postcards as you want, and I have people who do that, which is a lot of fun. If you want to know how to make one while you're listening, when you're sitting at home, if you go on postcardstotheuniverse.com and you look, I have how to create a manifesting postcard and the address to send it. I hope you make one. And if you do, just send me an email or let me know on any of my social medias that you created a postcard and to look out for it. And what I started doing is I started doing readings from the book. And I'm releasing them in short videos on my social media, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and I also then put them up on YouTube, where you'll see me doing a small sample of a reading or one person's story, and I show you the picture, and you can follow along. And if you do happen to do that, I would love it if you let me know you were there by sending me a like or sharing it or, you know, making a comment. I would really appreciate that. And because I'm doing these readings, I started doing it, I decided to re-photograph all the postcards that are the original postcards from the book. But the way I'm photographing them is very different than they are seen in the book. So that's been fun. You know, as an artist, you change and you grow and things have become different. And really, it's the way I start photograph the postcards changed dramatically during COVID. So I really am enjoying going back and going through them again. It's been great for my creative spirit. And I release the postcard each Monday. I call them my magical message. And this week's happens to be Dreams Do Come True. And it's a story of an author who got her book published. So check it out. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I love it. It's just, it's my thing, obviously, right? So I do workshops. I started doing a couple. And I have one that's an ongoing workshop. It cycles over. It's 5 weeks. It runs Thursday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m. It's online, so you can do it at the comfort of your home. And I call it Manifesting Through Gratitude, a Visual Journey. And we use gratitude along with our camera phones to manifest more of whatever it is we want in our life. And using our camera phones, I have found, because everybody's got a camera now, everybody's got like a smartphone. I think the only person I know still has a flip phone is my father. He's in his 80s, so that'll just tell you there. But everybody else has a phone that has a camera attached to it. So how can we use that as a tool for manifesting and being in the energy of gratitude? So if you want to know more about that, just reach out to me, or you can find out more if you see my workshops on my website. And at the end of it, you have this beautiful visual gratitude journal. So like I said, I hope you check it out. If you're on Facebook, I have a group called Postcards of Love, and that's just funny and uplifting stuff. It's all putting in good energy back into the universe. And please send me a manifesting postcard. I love getting them. I swear I'm like a kid in a candy store when I see them in the mail. Okay, so now to talk to my guest today, I'm really excited to speak with her, Julie Hilson. She shares her passion for living a life of magic, my favorite word, and joy. Everyone has a divine right to feel precious love and passion in their lives, and attaining it can be so simple. Julie shares powerful tools for self-discovery and finding delight in everyday life. When she's not talking to angels and creating, you can find her hiking, playing tennis, cooking, and spending time with her family. Her debut book, Life of Love, A Joyful Guide to Self and Sensuality, is a guided text written to illuminate the reader's unique joy and connect with the heartfelt wonder that is held within the daily moments of their lives. Hilson teaches readers how to receive divine help from their guides and angels through beautifully worded devotions, whimsical exercises, and heart-opening strategies that promote self-acceptance, self-love, joy, sensuality, and connection. Readers tap into their unique love vibration and use it to develop deeper relationships with both themselves and the people they love, discussing a wide variety of topics, including passion and desire, as well as forgiveness and standards. Life of Love celebrates the beauty that is present in every moment. Many have used these methods to create space in their lives to happily accept themselves in a loving, unconditional way. And if you want to follow along as you're listening or check her out after the show, go to lifeofloveandjoy.com. Welcome, Julie. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Melissa, that was so amazing. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to manifest this creation together. And I love how we are in alignment. And your topic was the dream book, and here I am talking about my dream book. So
I know. It works out great, right? Dreams do come true, which I'm sure your book was for you. So I always ask, like, how did you fall into what you're doing today? Because it's very uncommon, since from anybody I've spoken to, that we're completely tapped in and connected being from a small child. I mean, every once in a while I'll come across somebody who was, but it's usually something we come to later on after many experiences, some of them painful, and we start searching and seeking. Or did you always have that ability to talk to your angels and your guides as a child?
Well, that's a great question, because that's a human condition, right? We don't see the gifts that are right in front of us.
Right.
And yeah, so I always felt a feminine connection. I always felt a strong connection to Mother Mary. And my mother's mother, her name was Frances. I had a strong connection to her. And she was very connected to Mother Gaia. And I had no idea why I loved being in nature, why I could just sense what animals were thinking, what animals were going through. I was always very compassionate and empathic. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know till my 30s what an empath was. Like, so you get these breadcrumbs that you're not crazy, that you're, like, I always thought I was just so different. I was like, can't I just be like everybody else? Why can't I just go through life and not feel these things? And so it was a scavenger hunt for me. And I challenge people to go on their own quest to figure out what their unique gifts are and why they feel different. Cause that's the magic. That's where your, that's where your goo is. I love talking about it.
Yeah, no, I love that, because I feel the same way. And I used to think of myself, and many people listening may also think this way, like, oh, I'm just too sensitive. That's what I used to say, you know, I'm just too sensitive. Why am I so sensitive? Why does it, you know, if I see something, especially animals, hurt, why does it hurt me so much? Why do I feel other people? I love pain so deeply, like, and I just thought I was just too sensitive. Did you find that also?
Oh, yes. I was always told to basically suck it up.
Yeah.
Don't be so, you know, don't show your emotions. My mom would say, you know, put a box around your heart. And like, and she had all the best intentions. Don't get me wrong. My mom is a superstar mom, but she was just trying to protect me and didn't realize that my heart was where my power was. And, and those strings that got on my heart, yes, I needed to detach. And she was partly right, but also I needed to honor that I could feel and love so deeply. But it's part of a journey, right?
Oh, definitely. And now we know, like you said, that you're empathic. I'm empathic. I didn't know what that was at the time, but I know now what it is. And I do things to protect myself, because I am, which I'm sure you do also, to protect yourself. Because when you're an empath, you absorb the energy of what is around you a lot. And it can be overwhelming. And if it's negative energy, you can pick up on that so easily. I mean, we all have those abilities. Everybody knows what it's like. You walk into a room and say there was just a big argument and you walked in like after it was over, everybody can feel like, wait a second, what just happened here, right? So we all feel it to a certain degree, but some of us feel it more deeply. And I imagine, you know, you do also. So how have you learned how to protect yourself, which I think is self-love? And I know you talk about self-love. So let's start with self-love.
Yes. So that is, it's huge. And you can feel like you're being run over by a truck if you don't know how to set boundaries and to say, that doesn't work for me. But so many people who are giving from this open heart just want to give. And so that's sort of, I hit a wall and I had to learn how to employ self-love, because I thought my purpose here was to serve and my worthiness was in the reflection of everyone else's approval. Mm. And so, Melissa, you know that that's a mm-hmm. recipe for disaster. It makes you bitter. It makes you yep. wonder why people don't appreciate you. And it makes you expect a response. And it makes you have these ideas that you're not enough because you weren't recognized. So yeah, like, that was huge. That was huge for me to hit a wall and be like, what is going on? And then I took that pain and I just started on my quest. Like I said, I started a quest to figure out how to love myself, what my joy was. Melissa, I didn't even know what made me happy anymore mm-hmm. because I was so in the rut of checking off boxes and being there for everyone else. And I thought, well, you know, that's how Jesus taught us to live. He was always serving, but I was mm-hmm. missing out. I was missing out on that divinity that's inside of me, and it's inside of everybody. So it's my passion to just share with people that they are divine beings and we're all one. We all affect everyone. And mm-hmm. so being happy and loving yourself and having self-value, not self-degradation, is so important. And I just want to scream it from the rooftops because there's so many people who are just trying to live their best life, but they're missing out on the joy that they could be having, the relationships, because you end up having this illusion of separation when you're just living to serve others exclusively without looking at yourself. And are you okay? Are you happy? What's your body telling you? My body was in one place and my mind and my spirit was like 3 football fields away. Like I was so removed from my body because I didn't want to get hurt. So I just let my body like blah, 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 blah. You know, like the wheels are turning, the hamster wheel's running. I would lay down at night. And plus, I would be so tired, my legs would just ache because I just spent all day serving and doing everything for everyone. And I was just like so out of touch with what my body was saying. And I was tired and I was aching and I was just not happy. But if you looked at me, you'd say, oh, she's got it all together. She has a beautiful house. She has 2 healthy kids. And she has this husband who, you know, who does love me and adore me. But I wasn't fulfilled. I had to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of us women do this, not that men don't, but women have a tendency to do everything for everybody else and put ourselves last. Mm-hmm. And right. And in, we think, self-love is not the same as selfishness. It's different. So what did you do? I know the things that I had to do, actual things to learn to love myself. Like I had to do rituals. I had to be active in learning how to love myself. Like, is there anything that you do on a regular basis to help you love yourself that maybe somebody listening could do that might really, you know, inspire them or spark something in them and they'd say, oh, you know what? I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you the most meaningful and easy thing you can do is look at yourself in the mirror and really look into your own eyes. Don't look at your nose. Don't look at your skin. If you know, don't look at anything. Just gaze into your own eyes and tell yourself, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mirror work. And yeah, that's always, might, that's mine. Yeah. That was always mine too. That mirror work is hard.
Like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah. It was really hard.
You're like, nope, not looking at it today. I'll do it tomorrow. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I just cried. I just sat down in front of the mirror and I just cried big alligator tears because I had avoided and just neglected my ability to see myself. And so that was huge. And then, you know, I still love yoga. Yoga connected me to my energy centers. It gets me moving. It gets my, you know, everything flowing. It helps my thoughts. But also you need quiet time. If you're going to live any kind of life of magic or joy, you have to have time to just decompress, whether it's a walk, whether it's meditation, whether it's playing a musical instrument. You have to create space for your own mind to just do a dump. We're just bombarded.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yours are very similar to mine. So. Yeah, I recommend and I teach people to do this, especially when I'm talking about gratitude and manifesting with gratitude, is mirror work. And people don't like it. And I didn't like it. And I got the idea from Louise Hay. So I can't say that it was mine. I was a big follower of hers. I read her books. And she started doing it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And I committed to doing it for 60 days straight in the morning. And yeah, it was very difficult because the first thing you want to do is criticize everything that you see wrong with you in the mirror, right?
The image. Yeah. You grab the tweezers and start
It's all about the image, but the more you do it, it starts to change. And it's not about just seeing, you know, the parts of yourself that you like. You know, everybody has things they like. Oh, I like my eyes or I like my nose or you start to go deeper than that. And you start to see your flaws, physical flaws that you think are flaws. And you start to appreciate those also, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's powerful. It's definitely powerful. And I do think that connecting to your body and grounding yourself is so important. And I'm the same. Like, my mornings are my time. My phone is off. I don't look at emails. I don't answer the phone. It's my quiet time. It's my reflection. It's for whatever I want to do. Yeah. And that totally helps me in my life. And it's served me so well. So I totally, totally get that. Have you found that now that you've created these rituals for yourself, this self-care, that it changed your energy?
Yes, definitely. And I want to emphasize that everyone is different. So what works mm-hmm. for like Melissa and I mm-hmm. might just make someone else nuts. Like they, it won't work.
Right.
So you have to start where you are and accept where you are. If you're not into stretching and that doesn't feel good, that is completely okay. And the whole idea is non-judgment and these kind of things, like recognize when you're criticizing yourself, when you're judging, when you're creating a division between you and others, because those are signs. And so in my book, I go through like checklists of things you could try to do. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to come up with them on your own. 'Cause that was where I was so burnt out. I couldn't even tell you if someone said you have the whole afternoon to do something, I'd be like, I don't even know what I want to do. I'd be like, what do you need to do? Like, it was so bad. Melissa, it was so bad. And, but I just needed a nap. And I think that's why I loved yoga. I love the vinyasa and not the, it's not the vinyasa. It's at the end where you lay still.
When you settle in and you're at the end and you're just breathing. Yeah, it's the best part. But you're right. You have to find what works for you. Like, for example, running for me is not my thing. Like running, jogging, I've never liked it. But some people get into a zone. That's their place. You know, we know movement gets our endorphins going and we know that that's healthy for us. So whatever it is for you, like one of my greatest joys for me is reading. I'm a major reader. I love to read. So that is part of my self-care, making sure I'm always reading a book. Yeah. But for somebody else, it might not be, you know, so you're right. You have to find what works for you and start there and just start there. And just, wouldn't you say that I always found this was really helpful and maybe you would say the same thing. The way we talk to ourselves, we would never talk to a loved one, the things that we say to ourselves. Don't you find that true? Like, I'm sure you would never say to your kids the things you've said to yourself.
Absolutely. That's in my book too. It's like,
right.
You know, talk to yourself like you're your own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you say that to your best friend? And you are a divine being and you deserve respect and regard and nobody's going to treat you as a divine being until you can treat yourself that way. It doesn't come from the external. This is all remembering. It's remembering what's in you and that divine spark that created you, that you're a one of one and you're part of one. So it's a great shift in your, a paradigm shift in your reality mm-hmm. if you can be conscious of that and catch yourself. And then, and not to guilt or to judge yourself for not being nice to yourself. It's just like, mm-hmm. yeah, I see how you went there. And you know, I'm going here now. That's how I used to talk to myself. And just guide yourself in a loving, unconditional way, because it's, you know, you don't want to slip into judging how you judge yourself.
You know right. what I'm saying? Yes, like, I do. Have you found that your relationships changed with your family once you started doing this kind of work for yourself, and how everything changed?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it goes back to your mantra, you know, the postcards to the universe. You're sending out these vibrations that mm-hmm. you're looking, and you made space for another way. You're going to present yourself in another way. And I say you're shifting timelines. You've gone from one way of being in the world, and you decided mm-hmm. that's not serving me, and it's not serving the highest good, because I don't feel well. So you're making space for this new timeline, this new way to show up. And it has to affect everyone around you, because we're energetic beings and every thought affects everything around us. So showing up with unconditional love, self-regard, with the idea that we're all connected, it changes everything. You get better service at restaurants. I have like people give me like hotel perks. I don't even ask. Like I'll say, oh, this didn't work out. I don't have to say, I need 1,000, you know, points. Right. They're like, oh, let me give you 2,000, you know, points or whatever. I don't even have to say I need points. You know, I travel a lot with my son. So every once in a while, something goes wrong and sure. I don't even have to complain anymore. You just come with this, I understand how this happened, and if I want to make you aware, and like the universe just wants to give you abundance. It wants to support you, but you have to see where you're blocking the flow, because you're creating these illusions of separation or victimhood. You know, that was my big thing. I was a victim. I'm trying to do my best. Why is this happening to me? No, it was happening for me. I needed to wake up. And I still, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I still catch myself. I'm like, of course. Oh, no, that's an illusion of separation. You know, it's like, that's silly. Don't go there.
Oh, my God. It's true. A lot of us have had that victim mentality. And yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. And I want to talk about your angels, too, the connection that you have with the angels when we come back from our commercial break. So let's take our break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Everyone has a story. I have a story. You have a story. We all have a story. As I see it, you have three choices. Allow your story to define you, use it to excuse you, or utilize it as a method to empower you. It's your life. You have the power. You choose. Rewrite your story on finduniquelyyou.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement, where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Hey guys, and welcome back. If you're just joining me, I have author Julie Hilson on with me, and the title of her book is Life of Love, A Joyful Guide to Self and Sensuality. So Julie, right before the break, we were talking about you know, shifting our, it's really shifting our vibration and our energy. It's like how we show up in the world is how the world shows up in our life. So if we want to show, if we want the world to show up differently, we have to, it's always an inside job, basically. And for many of us, inside, it's been victimhood. So how did you change that? Like, how did you shift out of that?
Oh, that's a great question, Melissa. Well, I first had to realize that I was being a victim. I had to get real with myself. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, you're to be a victim, you have to have an expectation that somebody's going to do something for you. And how entitled is that? Like, you start out with an expectation. So that's like, whoa. Okay, so you got to get honest that you did that. And that doesn't feel great.
True.
And then you realize that you, if you're a victim, you placed a judgment on someone's behavior that you desire, what it didn't fill what you wanted. And I, you know, I realized I was trying to manipulate my environment because I wanted to control everyone and everything. And that's how I felt safe.
Right. I never thought the way you're saying it, like that's so true. It is true. You are manipulating it to feel. And it's also, I'm a victim and I have to prove to you I'm a victim. So see how all these terrible things happen to me? So yeah, see, I'm right. I'm a victim.
Yeah, kind of. Then you make other people have shame. And that's like,
right.
Shame is so low. So
right.
A huge eye-opener was when I saw the Hawkins emotional scale. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Oof, that to me, that's like it's a barometer. It's like a thermometer that tells me, you know, where am I right now? Because, you know, you have, when you're doing this work and you're seeing how you're defining your environment to make control. And, you know, everyone has a different way of manipulating their 3D to make it predictable. And I talk about the ego and how, you know, if you're in fear-based, you're operating in this protective mode of ego. And if you're in love and joy, you're out of ego. And it's not that ego is bad, because it serves us. It helps us live. It helps us predict when the next tiger is going to come around the corner. But we don't have tigers anymore. We don't need to live in stress and try to manipulate our environment like that. But it once served us very well. So it's, you know, when you see it in yourself and you see someone else going through the same things, you're like, oh my gosh, I see you and I get it. I get where you're coming from. And all of a sudden you have compassion and you've changed from being like offended by somebody being rude to you to being like, oh my gosh, girl, I get it. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden your world, you're actually helping more people by being less subservient. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is a lot about self-awareness. I mean, it really is looking deep inside yourself and asking yourself the questions like, why is this, you know, is this serving me? Is this in my best interest? Is my behavior helping me or hurting me? And when you really start asking yourself those questions and you start listening to the answers, you're going to be surprised at how much more compassion you'll have for yourself, right? But it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we're works in progress. It takes a while. It's a lot of practice, right?
Because I'll be like, practice. Oh, I'm doing that. And I want to shift it, but I'm stubborn too.
Yeah.
So I have a couple steps. So the first
tell me. Like, yeah, please.
Yeah,
what are they?
This has been fun. I love playing in this energy and playing, you know, getting different outcomes with the alchemy of the way you interact. So like, you're in this situation, it's not right. And you're feeling, what we say, triggered or whatever you want to say.
Right.
You're annoyed, you're frustrated, whatever. Just taking a deep breath and accept the situation. Just be in the situation for a moment, look around, and then feel what your body's telling you. Is your throat tight? Does your stomach hurt? Do your legs twitch like you want to run? Like, there are so many signals that your body, your subconscious can work through your body. And so just taking that deep breath and checking in with your divine all-knowingness that's within and around you all the time. And that's, you know, that's part of the angel work, is just mm-hmm. taking a deep breath and saying, okay, what do I need to see here? What do I feel? I accept this, but what do I feel about it? And maybe it's get the hell out of there, right? Like maybe you're in mm-hmm. danger. Like this isn't a good thing. And, you know, your legs twitching will tell you this isn't a place for you. But, you know, that whole idea that you're going to accept and feel and then send compassion to yourself for being triggered. Say, you know, mm-hmm. this is something that you're having to deal with and it's not ideal. And then to the person and speaking your truth and seeing what they're showing you, but then also saying, yeah, this is how it's hitting me. And you being honest gives everyone around you a permission slip to share their truth.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I know that if I'm triggered or somebody hurt my feelings or I'm angry about something, if I give myself permission to be mean and mad for a little bit, like, okay, mm-hmm. something happened, I'm going to be pissed off for the next half an hour. Like, that's it. And I'll scream and yell and rant and rave or write it down or whatever, like just to kind of expel it from my body. But then I say, okay, time's up. That's it. You gave it, you allowed yourself to release it. And now you're not going to sit in it. That personally helps me a lot, because then I don't build up resentments. You know what I mean? Like, I learned how to honor myself, that sometimes I need to get it out. I need to be mean and mad. I need to feel sorry for myself, but I'm not going to live there. So let's just do it for, like, you know, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour, whatever. And then, okay, it's time to move on, right? Like, all right, I'm done now, you know?
Yeah,
and that's just something that works for me.
And that's mm-hmm. self-care, you know, that's self-care, because if you don't let that out and you just push it down, I call it the emotional trash compactor, you just keep packing it down, you're going to develop illness. It's going to get stuck. It gets stuck in your energy systems. And it's just, I mean, that's the whole idea of like Reiki and these, mm-hmm. These healing modalities. This is science now. It's proven. You get blocks of energy within you. So yeah, cycling through it, speaking your truth, that self-care of punching a pillow, or I like to write with a wide Sharpie, like just Sharpie it out. Like,
right. Sharpie it out. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one. Sharpie it out. I'm going to Sharpie it out right now. Just give me 10 minutes, guys.
Yeah. And then,
I like that.
And then just burn it, you know?
Yeah.
Let it go up. I mean, Mitch and I had an argument last night, and he knows now. He's like, well, you just yell and do what you need to do. And I'm like, thank you. Because he knows I've got to yell. I'm like, I'm a very passionate person. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and I'm feeling these things, I have got to let it out. Even if it's not intentional, like people we love do things that hurt us and it's totally not intentional, but it still hurts you. And it's just a disservice to pretend like it didn't hurt you because they didn't mean it.
Yeah. And I think that's dishonoring yourself too. If you're, like there's a lot of people in that are into spirituality or into this kind of like this manifestation, and they're like, don't want to touch on anything negative and they want to be all rainbows and butterflies. And that's not me. I don't think that works. I think because you're dishonoring, we're complicated. We have a whole host of emotions. I think we need to honor our emotions, but it's where we decide to live that really, really makes the difference in what shows up in our life. But I have to talk to you about angels, because I want you, when you said like you connect with the angels, do you get messages? Do you feel like messages are downloaded to you, that you receive them? Do you hear them in your head? Like, how does that work for you?
Well, you know, you go through different cycles. I've noticed, like, sometimes it's through dreams. Mm-hmm. I get downloads in my sleep and I'll wake up and I'm like, I don't think I even slept all night. I was getting downloads, and I'll have to get up in the middle of the night and just write things down. And other times it's just like, I'll get a sense. I get this knowingness, and there's no reason I should know it. And I do believe that your Akashic team and your angels are all working together. And as part of God inside all of us is that, you know, God has legions of angels that he uses to serve you know, the highest good. And so we also, we're part, God's in us. So it's part of what we all have. So I encourage people just to start asking and then ask for a sign. And you'll get, I'll get angel wing like shapes around me all the time. And I used to try to avoid the angels because I thought it was sort of like this area that it could be gray or scary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would let in, like, I'm so sensitive. I'm like, what if I let in an entity that wasn't of my highest good? And so I was really hesitant about opening my heart to an angel message, but, they used to leave me little pieces of paper in the shape of angel wings, like around my house until I was like, wow. Okay, I'm just going to go learn. Okay. I get it. I think I get it.
Oh my God. That's wild. Yeah. That one hasn't happened, but I do find white feathers quite a lot. Mm-hmm. In places that wouldn't normally be a feather, like in my house, like where, and I, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I know it's not on my shoe, you know, so yeah, it's interesting. Now, is there, you have something that I thought was really interesting when I was reading about you and reading some of the questions that you like to answer. So one of yours is, how can angels help my relationships? So I was like, yeah, how can they help my relationships? we could all use some of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then you ask the angels to show you, like, show me something I haven't noticed. Show me something I haven't seen.
And that could be, and that could work in our favor either way. It may be something we don't like, showing us that that's not the relationship we should be in, or showing us something that maybe we've missed about somebody that's wonderful because we're trapped in our own, you know, heads or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And asking them to help you find your innocence again. We've all been tainted by things, like whether it's a movie or magazines or just concepts that have clouded our ability to feel in a curious, sensual, open way. So asking the angels to help cut cords of things that don't serve you, that hide your innocence, that make you feel like any kind of judgment or shame about your body or about your relationships. I mean, they can help you find peace, and it's beautiful. And they're just waiting for you to say, please pull me, please show me. Mm. And oh my gosh, just please thank them. Mm. You need to thank them. And I'll just be like, oh, thank you, thank you. I love it when you go, thank you, thank you, thank you. They like flap around. It's so fun.
Well, yeah, I feel like that too. I don't think the angels necessarily would care that you thank them, but I think in the thanking is that you're tapping into the gratitude, that you're grateful for the experience. You know what I mean? Like, that's what, like, because they're seeing us from such a higher perspective that we're not seeing us, right? And they're so loving unconditionally of us humans who come here to Earth school and are very flawed and are figuring it out and are trying to grow and evolve. But yeah, I love that. So just asking them to show you something that you don't know in your relationship. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And anytime you've done that, you've gotten some kind of an answer.
Oh, the clarity. Yes. You get clarity, you get peace. And you know, it's a beautiful thing. And you can call on a team of angels. Like, you can form your relationship just like you do your postcards. You can have your team of angels. Like, my relationship for being present, my angel for being present in my relationship, my angel for being compassionate, my angel for being authentic. You know, think, if you can think of your core values of your relationships and ask for an angel to be part of that team, you can call on the team, and you can even give it a code. You can be like, my angel team 101, like, whatever you decide, you're defining it. You're creating this team. And I'm telling you, it's part of their role too. Like, angels have duties. Mm-hmm. And so when we call on them, it helps them get to their next level. And it's all of our oneness. It's so fun.
It is fun because I do call on certain angels for different things. So I do, but I never thought about it as like giving it like a code. Like I, like if you're in like serious trouble and you need like a rescue, you can come up with something. That's cute. Yes. Yeah.
Mine's 1221. I say 1221 and then my team is there. I'm like, I need help now.
I love that. And I love this question that you had too, because I never thought this question ever, but I love it. How can spirituality help my sex life? And I thought, I got to ask her about that because that's really interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, it comes back to your divinity and that your body is a vessel and it's a sacred thing. So when you're coming into a union as a sacred being of light, as a sacred being of presence, your senses are heightened because you understand it's your divinity that you're sharing. And even if your significant other doesn't prescribe to the same spiritual concepts, they do feel the difference in energy when you come with this presence and this peace of, I'm going to share my divinity with you. It's really special.
Yeah, I can see how it could be. And there is a lot of shame around people's sexuality and sex. And so I can see how shifting that and bringing light to it and spirituality to your own sexuality can shift that energy for you. Because there are a lot of people who are ashamed of sex and having sex and who they have sex with or who they're attracted to. And that's sad, you know, because that makes your energy vibrate lower. And like we said earlier, we didn't really get into it, but when you vibrate low and you have shame and you have guilt and you have anger and it's held down and you push it down, your body will develop a dis-ease that will manifest into a disease down the line because it doesn't just go away, right? It doesn't just disappear. Mm-hmm. So energy never does. It has to change. It has to change. Yeah. It keeps moving. So for anybody who's listening who it's maybe having a hard time finding any kind of inspiration or joy or any passion in their life, is there anything that you talk about in your book or that you recommend that people can start incorporating on a daily basis that could maybe start to spark that?
There's three different sections in my book. And the first one is knowing your light and understanding that you're a being of light. And there's exercises to bring in your light, to ask the angels to show you your light, to see how you're most brilliant in the world and understand that you are needed and you matter. But also if you're having thoughts of self-injury, if there's something going on deeper that you're questioning your existence, please seek professional mental health professionals. I'm not a psychologist. Yeah. I'm a speech pathologist. So these are things to look at, but I'm not going to say I know all the answers. I'm going to lead you on a quest and take what serves you and leave what doesn't. But then also, you know, treating your body as this divine vessel is part two, and how you're taking care of yourself. What kind of sleep are you getting? What are you putting in your body? What are you allowing around you? What's in your surroundings? Music carries a vibration. Like if you listen to violent music, your body picks up on that and it makes you constricted and small and not your best self. So there's all these things to consider. How you decorate, you know, like the elements, earth, wind, water, fire, you know, incorporate these things because they're all part of how we manifest, right? And to have these things around you and, you know, do you have a mess? You know, your internal being can't be satisfied and clear if you're living in chaos. So look at that, you know, it's like an inventory of things. And I have charts, I have crossword puzzles. It's really fun. I've had a blast putting it together. And then the last section is dynamics of relationships. And so these are the way we interact and we interplay and to really look at, observe how you're showing up, because that's 99.9% 9% of it is what you're feeling inside, you're projecting out. So if you're not getting what you want, it's something, like you said, it's your work. It's your work to look at yourself and stop projecting. Please stop projecting. If you're upset, there's something inside, and you know, you can do some things to get to your inner soul, to find your, you know, a lot of people love inner child work, and I think it's fabulous. I don't talk about it in my book, but I really think it's a powerful tool.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked about the postcards, because when people are making them, especially like together, when we do them in a, as a group in a workshop, like I'll notice that adults who are very serious when they walk into the room turn into little kids at play by the time they're like picking all the art. It's like when you used to, you know, draw with crayons and coloring books and you're putting all your stuff together, you can feel the energy shift. You can feel it. And it's like, we're kids again, we're playing, we're creating. And yeah, so there's something about the tapping into the inner child that is so true. I think we need to do that more. And I wanted to ask you this, this dawned on me, because this happened to me, and I don't know if it happened to you, because you mentioned there was a time that, yes, you had the beautiful house, it looked like you had the beautiful life, but inside you weren't feeling fulfilled, you weren't feeling joy. When you started doing your own work and everything changed for you, did you notice that you both met new people, came into your life that matched you, and also some old people had left your life that no longer resonated with you? Did you have that experience personally?
Yes, Melissa. It was so hard, because I wanted to bring everyone along with me. Mm-hmm. And I'd talk about what I was experiencing or what I was feeling or thinking about. And I would get this glassed look from some of my friends, like their eyes would glaze over, like, what are, I don't even know. And, you know, some of the relationships, it didn't even end like in a great way. Like I was triggering people, and I had to be like, I wish you peace, but I need to like stop this, you know, like I wish you all the peace, because when you're shining this light, it also shows darkness. And it gets uncomfortable, and you show people things in themselves that they don't want to see. And I didn't do it on purpose, but I had to learn not to take it personally, because when something moves out of your life, whatever it is, whenever you lose something, it's to make space for something that you're supposed to be focusing on. Because if you just collect, you're hoarding everything and you're not making space for what could be. So, and it's not that I treat my friends like, you know, objects, but it's all about, you know, you're going to resonate with certain people. And, you know, I have friends around the world now who I say, you're my friend, you know, and I would have never had friends around the world had I not opened up my heart to the possibilities.
So
it is an adjustment. It's a huge adjustment. Yeah,
it is. It is an adjustment, and it's not always easy, because it's some people you may have known your whole life and it hurts, you know, but you're just they just don't match. You just don't match anymore on a frequency level. So something will happen, or they'll just go away, and, you know, but you have to trust, right? You have to trust that it's all for your higher good. It's all for your best interest. And you said this earlier, life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. And if you can really say that mantra and get it and really say it, especially when difficult things happen, you can start to look for the lessons in when sometimes certain painful things do come up. I mean, that's just been my experience. That's helped me personally.
100%. I totally agree.
Yeah. So we only have, I can't believe it. We have like 2 minutes, not even. So is there anything that you didn't get to mention or say that you feel is really important that you want to say before we wrap up?
Oh, I honor you and what you're doing and your audience and, you know, anyone who's listened to this whole thing, you know, I'm holding you, and I know that you can get to where you want to be. And it's, you know, you're being very brave to even consider these things. And, you know, I see you, even though if I've never met you, I'm holding you in my energy, and I'm supporting you, because I know that you're here for a reason, and it's worth the effort. And Melissa, I really appreciate you having me on. I've just, it's been a delight.
Oh, thank you. And tell people if they want to reach out to you and connect with you and get your book, where to find you the best way.
Yeah, well, my website's lifeofloveandjoy.com, and there's a link to my book on there and the audio book, and I'm also on Amazon. But yeah, my website's the hub of everything, and mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook if you look up Life of Love, Julie Hilson.
Oh, thank you, Julie. It was such a delight talking to you today. Thank you so much for being with me. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.